I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas in this room. Actually, after the presentation yesterday, there were a lot of questions that came regarding the presentation, and some of them were addressed to my husband. Some were addressed to my husband, and some were asked from me. And as we were discussing those questions, Jagdananda Prabhu felt that why don't you come forward and answer some of those questions. So that's how I'm here. I mean, one thing that we wanted to share was that the theme of yesterday and today's presentations was about the relationship between the relationships within a family of Vaishnavas. So yesterday's theme was the husband and wife relationship, and today the theme was going to be children. And one thing that we, one main point in all of this is that no matter what relationships we are trying to address based on the theme of this yatra, that is extending loving relationships. So no matter what relationships we are trying to address, the starting point is always with ourselves. Because in a way we don't really have control. Like, Krishna is unlimited. He is the supreme controller, and he has control over all other living entities. But we are living entities, we are Anu, and we really have control only on ourselves. And even that, maybe not fully, but to some extent. And so no matter what relationships we are actually trying to address, the most important thing, the starting place, is always addressing the things within ourselves. So that was one thing that we wanted to clarify or bring forward. So whether one is talking about one's relationship with one's husband or wife, or one's relationship with one's children, as we discuss more, we will realize that actually it all begins with us. And so I know that all of you have been listening to classes today, and so probably it's been a long day, but please bear with me as we try to bring out certain aspects of this topic. And we want it to be an interactive discussion, so we will be very happy if you have any questions or any points to add. You just raise your hand and come forward. So one of the first things that we talked about yesterday, and we just wanted to reiterate today as well, is that so the living entity, by nature, we are, the scriptures tell us that we are full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. That's how Krishna made us. You know, we are full of knowledge, we are full of bliss, and we are eternal. But then, because we are in this material world for a long, long time, Krishna does say that when we are born into ignorance, actually. And such ignorance that when we take birth again, we forget everything. And we take a new birth, and we take on a new identity, a new body, and everything is new again. We forget the previous birth, unless there is a special mercy and Krishna intervenes, and you know, in certain very elevated cases we know that they remember, and the liberated souls don't go through that. But for us, practically we forget. So actually everything begins with the aspect of loving relationship. It begins with who we think we are, actually. It begins with our ability to love ourselves. Or, if love is a very strong word, our ability to accept ourselves. Our ability to be ourselves. And when the soul takes birth, how does the soul know? I mean, how does a child know who he or she is? How do we really know? I mean, how do I know what I am like, what I look like? How do I know whether I'm tall or short, I'm dark or fair or I'm, you know, I'm fat or thin. How do I know that? I know that when I look into a mirror and the mirror reflects back to me, oh, this is who I am, this is how my body looks. So similarly, a child knows who he or she is through the eyes of the parents. When the parents look at the child, and depending on the glance of the parents, how they look upon the child, that's how the child gets a sense of self, a self-conception, an individuality. The parents give it. And in fact, science also says that the first 3 years of a child's life, 85% of their neural patterns are already imprinted. The first 3 years. And who is the child interacting with in the first 3 years? The parents. So the parents have a lot of power over a child. Krishna has made it that way. And that's why the scriptures are so strong about the service as parents, that there is a lot of purification that our scriptures suggest before one becomes a parent, because it is such a powerful, it's a primal service. It's the imprinting that happens at birth and when the child looks to a parent pretty much controls the rest of their life. It's very huge. And so when the parents are liberated or when the parents are devotees, the way the parents look upon a child is very different from when the parents are themselves in their own conditioning and they're not aware. So then they don't even see the child, or maybe they see what they want to see rather than who the child actually is. So that has a lot of deep repercussions on what the children experience later on with themselves. So to put it more simply, if the parents look upon a child with love and say, you are so lovable, or you are like this, this is your nature, you know, you're a devotee of Krishna, oh, look at you, look at your propensities, the child believes that's who he or she is. It's like looking in the mirror and getting that kind of a reflection. But if the parents look upon a child and say, whatever, you know, they say, you know, oh, you did it again, you know, you're just no good, or whatever, you know, they give negative messages, the child deeply absorbs that and begins to think, this is who I am. You know, so in a way, the parents mold the consciousness of the child. During conception, pregnancy and after birth as well. So that's the topic for today, about how it is so essential while we are talking about extending loving relationships, that only when a child feels that love from the parents, the child actually learns to love himself or herself. Oh, I'm nice, I'm lovable, I am so and so. And then it is easy to love. It is easy to extend love to extensions of myself. I don't know if this is sounding very abstract or it's sounding... It's almost like if I like myself, I like the things that are connected to me. I like, I like my school, I like my teacher, you know, everything that's connected to my life, I like. And if there is something that... And then I'm able to differentiate, you know, because the parents tell me, if something goes wrong and the teacher says you're awful, I probably may not believe that. I might come home and say, is that true? And if my parents give me a true reflection, no, you're not awful. Maybe what you did today was not right. But that doesn't make you an awful person. See, there's a differentiation, subtle differentiation that happens. So when parents can do that, then the child has no problem loving relationships. And later on when that child grows up, it's very easy to give and receive love from the other devotees. It's very easy to give and receive love from one spiritual master. It's very easy to see how loving, you know, because that foundation has already been built. So that's what we were talking about. And so in order to be able to, many of us are parents right now, many of us are caregivers in the role of parents. We may not be parents ourselves, but we may be teachers. And that is, you know, in one sense we are caregivers. So in whatever role we are in a way, when I can see that my child, I'm seeing something in my child, the first place to begin is always ourselves. Okay, where is it within me? And till a very later age, the child's system, nervous system, is part with the parents actually. So in a way, it's always, that question is always very prudent. And if that connection goes back, it's not something that is, for instance, if my child has a hard time connecting to me, then from yesterday's presentation, the question to ask is, am I well connected? You know, what about my connection with my, you know, what about my relationships? Where do I stand? If my child is having a hard time with relationships, where do I stand? And then for me to look back and see, am I connected? So because how we were as children, in a way, what we received is what we can give, you know. So this kind of internal awareness and cultivation we have experienced in our life is helps a lot to bring things to light, and especially during the difficult process of anarthana nivritti in Krishna consciousness, where we know what is right, we know we have full faith in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, you know, we have full faith in where we want to go, but something is coming in the way and I'm not able to move forward. Something is blocking me. What is that? You know, I know in my heart I have faith. I know I'm getting up every morning and I know I'm chanting and I know I'm doing my best to serve devotees, but still there is this feeling of being stuck. And where is that coming from? So it really helps to go within ourselves and ask, and sometimes we need the help of another devotee to do that, because it can be quite hard. But when we ask those questions, then Krishna reveals basically where is the challenge within ourselves that we are not able to move forward. And so that was just like an introduction, like about where what we wanted to address today. So any questions or comments for that before we move on? Yes, sir. That's a wonderful question. So the question is, what are the symptoms of not having connection with our parents? So a good question to ask ourselves is, whether I'm connected or not, how is it affecting my life now? You know, and those are the symptoms that you're asking about. So one of the things that, and I'm sure many devotees here can come up with many wonderful points, but one of the things is we have a difficulty accepting ourselves as we are at any certain point in time. We always feel like we have to be something different. You know, if my strength is, you know, maybe if my strength is mridanga and kirtan, maybe I'm always hankering to be somebody else other than who I am. So the at a basic level, basically we cannot, it becomes very difficult to receive and give love. It becomes very difficult to receive. And we are in a position, because as devotees, we have different kinds of relationships, right? As devotees, there are three levels of relationships. We have relationships with our superiors, we have relationships with our peers, we have relationships with our subordinates. And so in each dynamic, the give and take is very different. So one symptom could be, if I'm not able to receive from those that I'm supposed to receive, without feeling like there's something wrong with me, or, you know, without feeling like every time I hear something and I go into this place where I really beat myself up, oh my God, I'm, you know, that's a sign that there is some place where I'm not accepting myself and I'm not able to receive. So if I'm in relationships where I'm always giving and giving and giving and I'm not able to receive, that's a sign that I never received, you know. So that's one symptom, and there, it can manifest in different ways. It can, with children, it can manifest in a certain way, like having. So it's different. So we are differentiating two things. One is having connection with parents. We may have connection, but what is actually the right connection? That's what we are talking about. What is the right way to be connected? How did Krishna actually mean for us to be connected with our parents? You know, we may be connected, but we may be connected in a way that is not the way Krishna intended. That's not the order that Krishna has placed. like one way that Krishna intended is parents give and children take. Parents, it's a service. It's just giving and giving and giving, and children receive. And then they pass it forward. But if I'm very connected to my mom and my dad, but I'm always in a consciousness where I feel I have to take care of them, I have to take care of them, and I'm constantly in anxiety, what happens is, it's not what, it's not how it's supposed to be. So firstly, I don't get nourished, because where Krishna intended me to get nourished, I've not been able to take that nourishment. And secondly, when I grow up and I get married, and when I have children, and where I'm really supposed to give, I find myself totally empty. I'm exhausted, I'm like, I have no energy, I'm like, oh my God, every day is overwhelming, totally. So that's a symptom, like we know the balance of give and take gets totally off, you know, that's one symptom. And how does it manifest? We feel overwhelmed all the time. We feel burnt out. We feel like no matter how much I do in my relationship with my spouse, it's not going anywhere, you know. Or, you know, in my relationship with my, you know, somebody, with a friend. Because we don't know how to relate as peers. Maybe I'm relating as a superior, or I'm relating, I only know how to take and I don't know how to reciprocate. I don't know how to be an adult in that relationship. So it's many, many symptoms. But we can definitely know that when we are trying to move forward in bhakti, and actually Krishna consciousness is a very sublime and beautiful process, right? Srila Prabhupada has said that. It's a very sublime process. But what comes in the way is our material anarthas, is our material conceptions that come in the way. I mean, I can speak for myself. So when we are stuck and there is something holding us back from loving relationships with devotees. Like if there is somebody who's having trouble with, you know, having even one loving relationship, that's a clear sign there's something wrong. I might have trouble in one or two relationships, but if I'm not able to have relationships with many people, then that's a sign that, okay, what's happening here? Why am I not able to relate? Yeah, is that, if anyone wants to add, please feel free to do so anytime. Yes, ma'am.
Have different personalities, and if we are the one constant factor, and because of us being parents, their personality develops, then why do we see that difference between their personality and, you know? So how much you account to that they are coming with having their own personality? Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful question. Everyone got the question? The question was that if, as a parent, if I'm all powerful, right? If I have all the power, then why is it that when I have three children and different children have different personalities, they're so different from one another? How do we account for that? Well, so it's simple. It's because every child is a soul and they have, so there is individuality and personality, you're right. You know, every child is different. So as a parent, the power we have is to let that child come into their full strength according to their own personality. That's the power we have. We are not trying to influence their personality. Like if my child is into music and maybe not so much of an academic person. So as a parent, if I can see my child for their nature, his or her nature, then accordingly I will encourage. But if I have my own expectations and I say, no, you have to really, you know, study hard and come up to this, you know, college and, you know, you have to do your post-grad and, you know, all this, then I'm misusing my power as a parent. But if, as a parent, the power you have is to see your child fully and let the child realize his or her own full potential. And it may be very different from one child to another. One child may be this, another child may be... One child may be really an extrovert who may go out and do things, and another child may be very shy. But as a parent, the power we have is to tell the child that it's okay. Krishna has made you like this. So you be who you are, and in whatever position you are in, and that's what even the scriptures say, right? Whatever position we are in, become, be Krishna conscious. So that's what we can do. by encouraging the child to follow his or her nature as Krishna has granted, and to overcome the modes and really come to a, you know, every person has a process. So really recognizing that each of my child has a unique process to follow. Is that making sense? So, let's go.
If I take my family, we were four siblings, each one of us is different. My parents were same for all four of us. Their reaction, their behavior was absolutely same. I mean, I can see a difference the way they were behaving with my brother or my son. So, but we have totally different personality. So, is it just the parents influencing the child, or there are other factors too? So how do we account for it? Which is a more important factor, their own personality or their surroundings or the situation?
Yeah, thank you. That's an important point. Actually, it's not... what I meant to say is parents have a primary role, especially at the beginning. But definitely what a child is like, we have heard even Rompan Maharaj say many times, it takes a whole village. So there are many, many teachers, many, many factors that make a child as they grow older. But one very unique function that the parents perform is that they give the capacity to the child to have those other multiple relationships. So, especially when they are young. You know, for instance, as a mother, if I were to tell my child, I don't know, some of you mothers may have observed that our children have the same relationships that we have, actually. The people that we have a very loving relationship with, our hearts are open, our children automatically go there. And where there is some little something, the children sense it. So in one sense, as parents, what we are doing is, it goes back to us. Our ability to have multiple relationships, loving relationships, where we can give and take, respect people, respect differences, and be able to receive, and at the same time, draw our boundaries. So how well we do that, we teach the same to our children. So it's like the mother. The mother tells the child who the father is, right? Srila Prabhupada has said that. The mother knows and the mother tells, this is your father. And the mother tells the child, this is your father and he loves you very much, then the child goes to the father very lovingly. So as parents, we have that power to encourage our children to have those other loving relationships and open their hearts to those relationships, so that when they grow up, they can easily hear from their spiritual master. That's what we are preparing them for, actually. We are preparing them for a relationship with their spiritual master and the other Vaishnavas, a relationship of service with no expectation. So all that they learn primarily from the parents, the environment at home. If they see the mother and father serving all the time and appreciating devotees, guess what? That's what they'll become. But if they see constantly the mother and father are criticizing devotees, or they overhear their parents talking something, and they'll absorb all that. But yes, as they grow older, there are many, I think as parents, we should all hope that our children meet other Vaishnavas and they can receive from everybody, so they can grow in their own Krishna consciousness. But the ability to enter and come out of relationships comes from a lot from parents. Or to put it in another way, if there is something unresolved in our relationship with our parents, it becomes very difficult to move forward. We can, because descending mercy comes but it's very difficult. In most cases, it doesn't happen. It's very, very hard. We remain stuck. Maybe we can have a little demonstration, if that's okay. We can show the, just to show this particular point that you're talking about, parents and children. So, yes. So Mataji's question was, what if we cannot go deeper into any relationships as a parent, right?
Not as a parent, as an individual.
As an individual. Good. Good point. Sure. That's right. So the question is, what if we cannot go in? So that's a sign. Right? So that's what we are talking about, that if I'm not able to go into any deep relationships myself, then how can I expect my child to do that? It's very difficult for the child to do that. So then the question to ask ourselves is, what happened? Because we first learn the idea of a relationship from our mother. Actually, mother is the first guru, they say. The scriptures also say that. So many times we can trace things back to our relationship with our parents or somewhere in the family that we come from. So just having that awareness is great. Most people don't even have that awareness that I'm not able to have any. You know, here I am attending workshops, seminars on loving relationships, but I'm not able to have any. So once we have that awareness, the next question is, you know, Krishna will reveal. If we have that, inquiry into ourselves and put that inquiry out to Krishna and say, please reveal to me what's happening here. I want to have loving relationships, but I'm not able to have. Then Krishna sends messages. And then we just have to tune in, and then he even sends the resources. I have experienced that in my own life. I've been totally clueless what's happening. I have all the right intentions. And I think I'm pretty sincere, but what's going on here, you know? But then Krishna sends people that will actually tell us what's going on. But definitely the ability for relationships we learn from our parents. And I think now here as practicing devotees, it's important for us to know that. You know, like as a mother and father, if I have some issues with my husband, and my son can sense it. But the important thing for me to tell my child is, no matter what, this is your father. And you know, so I give him, it's almost like the mother gives the permission to the child to have other relationships. Very, very, we have that, as mothers, we have that huge power. Krishna gave, so it's in a way we have to be really, so we give permission to love themselves and to love everybody else. You know, so, and of course, we cannot do that if we haven't experienced it ourselves. You know, it becomes very difficult. So, yes, Atul, you want?
The power of the mother to really, in the first 3 years, give a lot of love. I see, I feel these are the very, like, early years, which are so challenging that, you know, a lot of transformations are happening within the body and our emotional and even spiritual strength gets challenged. Mm-hmm. So, I've experienced a lot of emotional downs, and I've not been able to do whatever you're saying. Mm-hmm. So how to operate in that, you know, to platform and still feel hopeful.
Well, the very fact that you're asking the question is a sign that, you know, you're doing a wonderful job. But I think one of the things that is important is this idea of, I'm sure you've heard about it, you know, the idea of communicating with the child in an appropriate way. Because the child, what happens is the child takes responsibility. See, the child is wired by Krishna to survive. The child survives. And how does the child survive? By keeping the parents alive all the time. You know, the child has to survive, and the child survives by keeping the parents alive. Alive meaning in life, basically. So the child will do anything to keep their mother and father okay, because their survival depends on it. So first they'll take care of the parents. So the important thing is, and in doing that, they feel responsible. The child feels responsible for, if the mother and father are fighting, the children feel, oh, this is because of me. Maybe because I didn't eat my prasadam properly today. I didn't eat my vegetable. You know, whatever. The child takes responsibility, because out of their own innocence, ignorance, whatever it is, they take responsibility. So the least we can do is tell the child that, you know, whatever is happening here between your mom and dad, it's very old. It has nothing to do with you. This was there way before you came, and it's, and you know, mom and dad have resources. We have loving devotees in our life that are taking care of us. And so the child, the most important thing for a child is to feel that the parents are resourced. Then the child relaxes. Most important. So if your child sees, oh, when my mom is in distress, there's somebody she can call. There is somebody she can talk to. There is somebody who can come and maybe make prasadam for her for a day or something. The child can let go. And it won't affect the child. And then by you communicating to the child that this has nothing to do with you. And mom is fine. Sure, we as adults we have our challenges, we have our difficulties, but you know what? Your mom and dad are very fortunate because by Guru and Krishna's mercy we have so many resources in our life. We are not alone. So this is a matter of some learning and we'll go forward. And you don't have to do anything about it. You just go out and play. You're free. And you didn't cause it. That's enough for the child. You know, and we may not be able to do it in the heat of the moment. You know, I've experienced it, like in the heat of the moment it's hard to really have such an adult communicate, be this grown up with the child and be this, I'm okay, you know. But at least, the sooner we do it, the better. That's all we need to do. And actually that is a great opportunity for our children to see their parents struggling and overcoming, because guess what, then they can do the same in their own life. They know that when I am stressed out, I don't have to be alone and beat my head against the wall. I can call somebody. Or I can chant my japa, or I can read Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, so this skill of being able to take strength from the sources that Krishna has given, this skill is crucial in their education. Because this will help them to survive, no matter where they go. You know? So, that's something. Thank you.
How do we really put forth a correction to the child and not at the same time not giving them a sense of this is you? I mean, kind of put it down there.
Yeah, very, very relevant actually. I'm facing the same situation to basically accept, so the child has to feel accepted. So I think it's an energy thing, you know, it's like we are mirrors definitely. So if the child does something, you know, children at a certain age are mischievous, right? A 2-3 year old is an explorer. And Krishna is telling from within their heart, explore, because that's how they learn. Oh, there's water, touch it, see is it cold or hot, you know. You know, they are exploring with their whole senses, their touch, their eyes, their tongue, so they put everything in their mouth. Because Krishna has told, he's from within, Paramatma is prompting them, that's how they grow, you know. So to understand developmentally that it's very appropriate, what the child is doing at that age is very appropriate. But at the same time we have a responsibility to teach. So it's almost like how we look at the child when he or she does that. You know, if I look at it, if I'm grounded within myself and whatever the child has done isn't ruining my day, then no matter what I tell the child, it's okay. I can discipline the child. So basically I can discipline when I'm free. The child doesn't have power over me. You know, like my child could turn the whole house, you know, upside down. And if that makes me pull my hair apart, then probably that's not a good time for me to discipline my child. A better time for me to discipline is when I'm relaxed about it, I can laugh at it and say, okay, how old is he? 5 years old, fine. And I'm grounded and my energy is calm and I'm well connected. And then in a mood of service for the child's sake, it's not because I need something, for the child's sake, I can say, you know what, from now on, after 7 o'clock, this is what we are doing. This is the routine. At 7 o'clock, lights off, we are, you know, going to bed or something like that. We can enforce discipline. So the important thing is to not, our issues shouldn't get mixed up in it. That's my understanding, that we can correct them, discipline them from a free place. So if I'm overwhelmed, then first thing to do for myself is to resource myself. And then when I'm calm and I'm not reactive and I'm in a mood of service, then I can. And then the child gets it. Because all said and done, the parents are authorities. We are teachers and the child should know that. And we can tell the child, you know, it's my duty to teach you. How will you know? You know, I know some things because my parents taught me at a certain age. I'm just checking the time, 5:40. So it's important to tell the children that I'm also your authority and you have to listen. So I think Srila Prabhupada also said that up till 5, we give the child, you know, very loving environment, whatever. But after that, the discipline begins, after that age. So then we discipline. But then by then the foundation of love is established. It's very brilliant actually what Prabhupada is saying. What he's saying is the first 5-6 years, the trust is building between the child and the parent. There's so much love. The child knows my mom and dad love me unconditionally. And on the foundation of that trust, then slowly we can begin to change and be this authority figure and say, you know, we are not going to be doing this anymore. I'm sorry. You know, you can't snatch this, or, you know, you cannot come and take the bhoga away from me when I'm cooking. You know, that's something like that. And they will get it because they know the love is, the foundation is already there. So then they can understand better. So the loving relationship is there with them, basically. So that's my understanding. I'm sure there are more perspectives. But, I think Krishna Priya Mataji.
It's always important to verbally communicate. You're talking about separating out. Is it always important to verbally communicate, or is it more of a self, complicated,
Sure. I think verbal communication helps, but definitely we should, when we communicate verbally, it's also a somatic thing. It's also like I have to feel that. I think some amount of verbal communication helps, especially as they're growing older and they're separating from us, verbal communication becomes more essential. So I think it's good to do verbal communication. It helps, and but at the same time also being aware of ourselves within, like you know about that, like being in the moment and taking a pause for ourselves and knowing where do I stand with all this. So communication is at many levels, you know. So if I'm verbally communicating something, but within I'm feeling something else. Like suppose I'm really angry and I tell my child, oh, I'm fine, there's nothing wrong, mommy and daddy are totally fine, nothing happened. I'm verbally communicating something, but the child can sense the energy. Mom's really angry right now. So the important thing is to be in integrity. And whatever we communicate verbally, it's better to say, I'm really angry right now. And I need some time. I need to connect with my resources and, you know, ground myself. So honesty in communication really, I think is the most important thing. And then definitely verbal communication is very, very important. Because then the child is also learning to communicate verbally, you see. You're also teaching, you're also modeling it for your child, how to communicate verbally. If there is no.
Hare Krishna Mataji. This question is a little different from perspective than
I have to speak up so you can't hear.
This question is a little different from what other Matajis have been talking. I'm having a hard time having my child understand the importance of working hard towards something, because what happens is we try to engage them in Krishna conscious activities and then they say, I want to play right now. But then they are either, they are not serious in their Krishna conscious activities, they're not serious in school, they're not serious in any extracurricular activities like learning music or anything like that. When it is outside activities, they say, oh, this is not Krishna conscious. But when it is Krishna conscious activities, they say, no, I want to play. You know, so then what happens is we feel like they are getting lazy and they are just trying to get away from working hard a little bit and learning the ways that, you know, our elders have taught and stuff like that. Am I missing the point, or is it wrong for parents to start teaching children discipline about, life, about...
I think a little higher, actually, I think the others are not...
Is it wrong for us as parents to... teach children about discipline and life, you know, that you have to work hard for whatever you have to do. You can't just waste your life or just like that, just by thinking, oh, I'll chant one round and my Krishna consciousness is done there. You know, how do we influence them, or how do we help them understand that, you know, there is more to Krishna consciousness than this one round of chanting? Am I wrong?
Well, to keep it in the context of what we are discussing yesterday and today, I think a good place to begin is checking our own, within our own selves. Is there something within me that is distracting me? Am I able to focus on my activities? Because really, how a children, because how old is Radhika right now? She's 8.
This is not just about my daughter though.
Oh, okay.
I have other kids that I'm...
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Because it depends a lot on the age, this question, a lot on the age. Because up till a certain age, actually, children are learning more by observing and absorbing rather than doing it themselves. So, I mean, you might have seen that, you know, I might be, you know, doing something. I might be, you know, singing a song. And there is a child who's seemingly playing with some toys and not even paying attention, doing their own thing. But after a few days, the child will come back and sing that song. Oh, this is what you were singing. So up till the age of 7, actually, it's not so much what we say to a child. This is a developmental thing. It's almost what you do that they are absorbing. So even if they may not be doing anything, but if I am modeling a routine, if I'm satisfied and involved in my activities, then that's what they will actually learn. You know, so it's energetically they're picking up. So I would say the first place to begin is ourselves, that where am I distracted? Because the situation that you have said seems to be like there is a lot of distraction. There is the inability to focus on a certain activity. And I just want to say, it's developmentally appropriate up to a certain age. We cannot expect children to focus for too long. It's very appropriate, you know, they are, because their minds are so active, they want to explore, you know, they're self-learners actually, up to a certain... But if it's a consistent problem as they grow older, yes, the discipline is important. And I think more than anything else, you know, for them to have an environment where they can see adults absorbed in their work, that will have a deep impact. Rather than being told to do something that they are seeing that the adults around me are not doing, you know, they are, you know, that's...
Most of the time what I have seen is the adults are engaged in a devotional activity, like listening and chanting and everything, and they are off on their own world. And they won't get it. They will not get it if they don't even get it, if they don't experience it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't, we have tried many times, but we can't try to keep them in that environment. Somehow we're not able to engage them, somehow we're not able to attract them into the environment. And that's where I'm seeing what am I missing?
Yeah, that's a good question to carry. Why are they not attracted to this environment, devotional environment? Because, yeah, play is important. And it's important for children to play. And it's important for us to take the devotional activities in a way that it attracts their attention. So the question to ask is, really understand. And different children have different natures, you know. Some children like to be outdoors all day. And so probably I have to take my japa outside and say, let's go for a japa walk or something like that. They may not want to come and sit before an altar and chant, you know. But some other children may have some other inclinations. So according to their inclinations, it's good to give them those activities that they like in the beginning. And then automatically when they grow up, because they have grown up in an environment where adults are serious, they will automatically become devotees. Because they're absorbing it no matter what, you know. But it's important, but the loving relationship is important, like, you know, and based on that loving relationship, definitely messages that it's important to do this, and building a rhythm that they can, maybe you can sit down with them and make a plan that what do you think you can do? Maybe let's, you know, maybe chanting 10 times on our fingers, maybe not a whole round, and let's do that together, you know, mommy and you will sit down together and do it. So then they have an added incentive, you know, something like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
much, Master. These several points in the class has been very good points for me. But I want to just put forth my situation and see that I'm getting those points that we have for my situation. You're able to hear me?
It's very...
Hello?
Yeah.
In my case, I experienced this situation with my son. Certain times it's like, you know, it's very nice with him. But certain times I feel that we are not connecting. And so there could be two points from what you have said. One, that I have to look into myself. And I know for myself that I'm not a very confident person. So it could be that, or it could be coming from my family system that I'm not receiving properly, and I'm having a different conception of how I should be connecting with my parents. Or it could be both. So it means, you know. I mean, we could do it later or now. I mean, I think, but I think it's like a combination of these two or something. But can you please, you know, clarify the situation a little bit if you could?
Well, firstly, the question to ask ourselves is, what is your idea of connection with your son? Because with a 2 or 2.5 year old, they are out there to explore. In fact, the more freely they go out and explore, that's a sign that you're being a good mother, because they are secure in their connection with you. You know what I'm saying? For them, connection is not a matter of looking into your eyes. You know, it's not a matter of looking into our eyes and saying, oh, you know, you're so nice. That's not connection for them. Connection is something that they feel in their gut. And how we can tell they're feeling connected is how secure they feel. You know, so if they're able to go out and have relationships and they're playing all day, that's a good sign. That's a healthy sign that he or she knows that when I come back, my mom is there for me. That security is there. So at that age, that's the connection. At that age, the only connection I can give my child is be there when he or she needs me, make sure he or she eats on time, takes a nap, gets a bath, and whatever time is there, there is that loving. And I can express love from my side in a way that, and he or she will understand. But the important thing is not to expect from them, because really they're at a very different stage. A 2.5 year old is exploring the world with his senses. That's what he's doing. But I definitely understand what you're saying. The deeper there is another sense of connection, and that I'm missing, then that's a good way to go. That to understand, to ask yourself, do I feel connected? Do I feel connected to the parents, to the people I'm supposed to be connected to? My parents, maybe my preceptors, my spiritual master, my devotee friends. Do I have connection issues? If I do, then definitely. I will not know how to connect with my child. You know? I will bring in expectations. I will want my child to do certain things for me, and then I know I'm connected. So, that maybe we can discuss more offline, because this is a big topic. In fact, I wanted to do a demo, but I think it's 6 o'clock. So I think we should end, but... But that's a good line. You're thinking in the right direction, that it always goes back. Turn around and see your parents and see how that connection is for you. Very important. So, what is it? So I think we should end here, because the next program is waiting. So if there is any more discussions, I'm right here. My son will be chasing all the peacocks, so you can find me anywhere on the ground. You can come in. I'll be happy to. So thank you very much for tolerating. Hare Krishna.